You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Today, Newsroom reported that the New Zealand Family Court has made frequent inappropriate comments about domestic violence victims, such as a judge concluding that a victim was a successful school teacher and a robust, resilient person, and therefore did not have an ongoing need for protection after she had suffered whiplash from being body slammed by her former partner.
That's shocking.
So in response to this report, I decided to talk to Dr. Henry Carr, who is a lecturer in the Faculty of Law at the University of Auckland and specialises in family law. We talked about how domestic violence is responded to in the law and why victim blaming comments made by the family court matters and how this pattern is going to change. Here is Henry Carr. How is domestic violence treated in the New Zealand courts?
Well, domestic violence is legislated under the Domestic Violence Act of 1995. So victims of domestic violence can apply for a protection order through the Family Court of New Zealand, and that protection order provides protection to the victim through stopping the perpetrator of domestic violence from contacting the victim of the domestic violence. And if the perpetrator does attempt to contact the victim of domestic violence, the police can intervene and arrest the perpetrator.
Are there barriers for victims that prevent them from accessing justice through the Domestic Violence Act?
The Domestic Violence Act is very good. It has a wide definition of the meaning of domestic violence. The main barrier for victims of domestic violence in accessing a protection order is based on the relationship. So if the victim does try to apply for a protection order, it is seen as a declaration of war against the victim's partner.
So just to go back to what you first said, why does a large or a wide definition of domestic violence matter? Why does it make it better or easier access for victims?
Well, it means that the family court recognises that domestic violence has existed in the first place. A wide definition encompasses physical, mental, psychological and sexual abuse, and it also recognises domestic violence that has been committed in one instance or in a few instances. So a wider definition means that the applicant of a protection order is able to access a protection order and be given the protection under the Domestic Violence Act.
And you're saying that, but a protection order can act as a declaration of war against a partner. Is this something that's common?
Yes, it is quite common. And that's the main issue, because the most dangerous period of a woman's life is the period of separation from her partner or spouse, and applying for a protection order through the family court would likely antagonise the partner or spouse of the victim.
And what does a protection order exactly give a victim?
The protection order provides a legal safeguard for the victim. It means that the perpetrator of domestic violence is not allowed to contact the victim of domestic violence, and if the perpetrator does attempt to contact, or indeed does contact, the victim of domestic violence, then the victim may call the police and the police will arrest the perpetrator.
So just moving on from that and just talking a little bit about the family court. Is the family court, as it is now in its processes, the best way to deal with domestic violence issues?
The family court has the best expertise in dealing with domestic violence issues, but responding to domestic violence is both a legal one and a non-legal one. Obviously, the court is in the best position to legally assess whether or not protection orders should be provided to applicants. However, there needs to be greater enforcement of protection orders from the police and a greater understanding of the non-legal issues facing victims of domestic violence. So obviously there are psychological issues as well as emotional issues that need to be considered.
Are there any alternative paths that victims can go down instead of the family court? If, say, the declaration of war is there somewhere other people can go?
Well, they can try to receive the support of non-government organisations. So there are women's refuges that exist and that they do provide support to vulnerable women who are usually the victims of domestic violence. There are also community legal centres. If the matter is very urgent and the woman's life is at risk or the victim's life is at risk, the victim can immediately contact the police and the police can issue a police safety order that will be effective for up to 5 days, preventing the perpetrator of the domestic violence from contacting the victim.
What happens after those 5 days?
After the 5 days, if the matter is still urgent and the victim's life is still at risk, the victim will then have to contact the police again to ask for a reissue of the police safety order, or the victim can apply for a protection order through the family court, which is a permanent order protecting a victim for a period of time.
Newsroom has reported on inappropriate comments made by family court judges about cases of domestic violence. For example, a judge said that they could understand why a perpetrator acted violently against a victim. Do you think that these sort of comments are going to be a problem for victims who want to access justice and safety through the family court?
I think it's problematic. It seems that there is a lot of victim blaming and a lot of excuses for violence perpetrated by the perpetrator of domestic violence. It would be ideal if the court would focus on the welfare of the victim and to try to avoid excusing the reasons for domestic violence perpetrated by the perpetrator, or also focusing on what is in the best interests of the victim and preventing further acts of domestic violence.
So that almost seems kind of obvious that the welfare of the victim should be like top priority. So why is victim blaming an issue, do you think?
I think there are historical and cultural reasons why victim blaming is so prevalent. I mean, in the 18th century, there was a famous English jurist named William Blackstone who wrote a treatise on English law, and he wrote that it was acceptable for the husband to chastise his wife using physical force if necessary. And even though that's such a long time ago, there has been a lot of emphasis on excusing the behaviour and actions of the perpetrator. And that can be seen more recently in the development of domestic violence. So, for example, prior to the 1995 Domestic Violence Act, the 1982 Domestic Protection Act also gave a lot of emphasis to the reasons why the perpetrator committed domestic violence in the first place. And in one particular case called Newlands and Police, a judge allowed an appeal of a perpetrator who claimed that the sentence that he was given was too harsh. The judge came to the conclusion that the victim was partly responsible for being subject to domestic violence, for being in the presence of the perpetrator when she had no choice but to be in the person's presence, as they were both at a public venue.
with that sort of past and it potentially affecting the way that the law and the family courts deal with domestic violence now, how is that going to change? What is the law going to have to do? What are new people coming into the legal profession going to have to do to work towards that sort of those ideals changing?
Well, the main issue is not the law itself. In fact, the Domestic Violence Act, at least in theory, adequately protects victims of domestic violence. The issue is a cultural one. And that requires change in understandings of domestic violence, a greater understanding of the suffering faced by the victim, and determination to try to focus on the victim's welfare and to prevent further acts of domestic violence rather than victim blaming and excuses for domestic violence. So that's quite a difficult thing to achieve, and that would require wider and deeper cultural shifts in New Zealand society and changes to attitudes on domestic violence.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.